say your parent dies, and then by the time you die, they've already reincarnated back to Earth. Do you see them when you have the reunion in the light, or?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Oh. Sometimes yes, sometimes no, because I've run into that. Mm-hmm. I've talked to people who have just passed over, they had the family reunion, and the family member wants to know, was Uncle Joe there or whatever, and they go, no, I didn't see him. Oh. They got earthbound.
Oh. Okay.
Can you, from the other side, ask the Band of Mercy to assist in that case, or no?
You have to be here to ask.
Now, it depends. If that's a direct relative of the person that's asking me, I can ask that person, can I go ahead and get your Uncle Joe into the light? If they say yes, then I will need Uncle Joe's full name and his address, his last address, or as close as possible, mm-hmm. and then his position to them in the family. And I can go ahead and get him into light, and then suddenly Uncle Joe's in the light at family reunion.
So it has to be somebody here to do
yes.
work.
Okay. Yeah. There are laws.
But didn't you say even if they've gone, that sometimes that they can go, even if they've gone into their next life, sometimes that they can come back?
You mean if they're alive here, can
yes.
they be mm-hmm. there
yeah.
for the reunion?
Yeah.
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. Then I misunderstood you last time.
Yeah.
So I thought you said they could.
Good to know.
Okay. Yeah. No. If they have you're talking about if they've reincarnated.
Yes. You said possibly if they were asleep or.
Sometimes like your great grandmothers, sometimes they're allowed to show up for the family reunion. It's like a part of their soul, like maybe astral body, mm-hmm. can show up for a brief period of time for that family reunion. It does happen.
Okay. That's what I thought. We
yeah.
did. Okay.
And the family reunion ain't just always blood, is it? Because
no.
I would much rather see my family than my
no,
family.
No. Very often,
yes.
family reunion includes anyone and everyone you've known during your lifetime.
Okay. With the exclusion of people you really don't want to see?
Oh. That's a good question.
No, sometimes they're there,
they're
too.
They're there, too.
Can you uninvite them?
Hey, I heard there's a really cool party down the hall.
Well,
no.
The bouncers at the party. The weird thing about it, like when my dad came to get my mother to try to take her into light, it didn't work out real well.
I bet it didn't.
Because they had been divorced a number of years and she didn't really like him.
Right.
But he really wanted to make up for it. So I literally had to tell Dad to stay back. Mm. You know, but I knew that once they got in the light, that would situate itself. So when you're up there and you go through what you need to go through, like your life review, that sort of thing, when you do have that family reunion, you have more insight mm-hmm. as
you,
to
yeah, you understand it all, right?
Why
okay.
they did what they did and what it was about and what the lessons were all about and how you figured into the lesson and where you did maybe something really wrong to them. And it all gets brought into proportion and you understand.
Can you forgive, like when you're in that, doing your review, can you forgive people that you've done wrong at that time? Or
sure.
Is it kind of too late?
You don't get that forgiveness. Mm-hmm. You have to do that here.
Okay. Just curious. Like if
yeah.
you didn't know you did something to somebody and...
Right. And then you found out that you did.
Once you're there...
Your next lesson, you can go ahead and put that into being and show your next lesson.
I'd rather not. I'd rather get it right there. Just checking in, maybe, you know.
The bad thing about
that hasn't worked
all
so
of this
well.
Is there's no quick fix.
No, there isn't. Okay.
You've got to go the course, which really sucks, but it's the only way that you can actually get the lesson and get it achieved, get it done. You have to actually go through it. So you really, honest to God, learn it. It's not like, yeah, I got it. And they're like, well, I don't think you have.
I think
let's
I've
try
tried
this
that
again.
Bam!
Yeah, I got it that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I really got it this time.
Yeah, please. Can I convince you?
No 2x4.
Yeah.
Kind of speaking to that, Have you ever encountered any trouble communicating with spirits who do not speak English?
Yes.
Like, how does that situation
we
play out?
We had one that came through in New York, that came with me from New York, that didn't speak English. As a matter of fact, it was some sort of Czech language. So I actually had to bring an interpreter because the medium was speaking in Czechoslovakia.
Right.
And I was like, going, huh? And my medium didn't know Czech at all.
I would imagine not.
It was weird. And so I had to bring in an interpreter so that she could speak. And then it all smoothed out. It was fine then.
How'd you figure out what language it was if you didn't know the language?
I recognized the language. I've got a pretty good ear for languages. And it did turn out to be.
You guessed the area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I did ask, it was in that general area of Europe. So it was kind of cool. And it gave absolute proof.
Do you ever have, like, if you just encounter a spirit, do you ever have any issues communicating with, like, spirits not coming through a medium with, like, language barriers?
Do you mean just one-on-one with spirits? Mm-hmm. Sure. Now I had a kettle boy. He was haunting this business. It was a flower business. Thought he was a big shot and a smart aleck, and he was hurting people, and he was just mean, and he thought he was going to scare me, you know, and I wouldn't scare. And finally, I had to just nail him and say, look, this is the way it is. You're either going to go in the light or you're going to go into protected sanctuary. I don't really care which one, but you're not going to stay here. So I had to just do what I had to do, put him in protected sanctuary. Because he was just going to be a
tail.
Pain. Look, when they're stupid here, they're stupid there. And when they're mean here, they're mean there too. People are people. And you just don't always get along with everyone.
Really, Carol?
I try.
You not getting along with somebody? No. Okay. More like you not getting sassy on somebody. That's kind of a real... Anyway. Another question.
Okay.
So this lady lives in a condo complex, and she wants to do a lifting over the whole condo because...
No.
Would it work for her to ask a member of the board, or would she have to ask all members of the board or all residents, or how would that work? Because there's like a property owners association for that condo.
She'd have to ask, number one, the owner of the property.
Okay.
And number two, the individuals of each condo.
So the board wouldn't suffice. It wouldn't suffice to ask the board.
No.
Even if they have management over it, like a property manager, they have decisions like the president of a company. He may not own it, but...
Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. It depends upon what is there. If it's ancient ground, is it burial ground, is it demonic, is it haunted, was it a cemetery? It would depend upon the level of haunting. If it's none of those, the property manager would probably be fine, and then the individual condo owners. But if you get into something with a lot of history and depth to it, you've got to go to the owner, number one. And then you've got to find out what it is. And it may be that you have to use a council of elders, you'd have to use different bands of mercy accordingly.
What if there's a partnership? Do you have to ask both partners?
One partner.
Okay.
Good question.
That's it.
That's it?
For now. Well, I have several different modes of getting questions in. I'm replying to this lady's email.
Ah, okay.
I have a question, but it's off topic.
Sure.
Our guides, do we keep the same guides in every lifetime?
I don't think so. I think you earn different levels of guides.
Okay.
From what I can tell. And there seems to be, the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit, okay? Mm-hmm. But it's like you can have more evolved information.
Okay.
So you go
what
from
about the guardian angel then?
Guardian angel, usually, from my understanding, they don't live, they're not necessarily with you for a lifetime.
Okay.
It's appointed for a lifetime.
Okay.
As far as I know. Don't take that one to the bank.
All right.
But for your whole lifetime.
Yeah, it's for your whole lifetime.
Are you the only one that they are assigned
That's
to?
That's it. Yeah.
But some of them are over time.
Your guides and your guardian angel are with you for your entire lifetime.
Is it once the soul seeds or when you're born that they're appointed?
I think it's actually when you're born.
Okay. Just curious.
You believe you keep the same soul throughout your entire lifetime?
You are your soul. You are your soul. Your soul is the ghost. Your soul is the spirit. Your soul isn't a separate entity. You are your soul.
And you believe this body maintains the same soul throughout the entire lifetime?
No, actually, there's a number of spirits that can attach to your body. But there is, and interestingly enough, if you have a situation where you have twins, sometimes they can occupy the same body.
Mm-hmm. So they have all those connections.
And sometimes there's more, actually.
If twins are mediumistic, could they switch bodies?
No.
Or flip-flop? Or
no.
No, there's
oh, that was a different thing. Sorry. Okay.
No, but you... And there can be souls that can battle for the body.
Mm-hmm.
If you reincarnate from the outer darkness, you can battle for the body of the fetus. And that can cause some trouble. If you incarnate from the light, the soul occupies the body. But you can still pick up other souls, other attachments. Thus, multiple personalities.
Would that be schizophrenia as well?
No, kind of schizophrenia is an entirely different thing. I've worked a lot with schizophrenia, and I've worked a lot with multiple personality. I can clear a multiple. Hmm. I can't clear schizophrenia. I can remove spirits that are attached to schizophrenia, but I have not been able to clear the mental illness itself.
There was a really interesting article. I don't remember if I brought it to you guys or if you showed it to me, but there was a woman who was diagnosed multiple personality.
I brought it. Yeah.
I mean, I'm in grad school for that. And she had several different distinct personalities, but she was blind. Like, the woman had an injury, her eyes didn't work, but there were certain personalities that took over that could see, and they would, like, acknowledge things that they were seeing in the room. And they were like, well, we don't know how that would happen because her eyes don't work. Well,
that's amazing.
Yeah.
It wasn't the body, it was the soul scene.
And I want to say it was like a boy. Right. Like, there were different, like, from different regions.
Well, they affected the body to actually where the body actually did see. But once they're no longer occupying the body, it goes right back to where it was. They did some tests with multiple personalities, quotation in the air, where they tested their hearing, their sight, their blood chemistry, and with each different personality, it was different.
Different.
The blood chemistry. Wow.
Yeah.
That's like
the
a
blood
completely
type
different
too.
Person.
Completely different.
A different soul.
Exactly.
That could get really, really dangerous if somebody was getting blood, like a blood transfusion.
Exactly.
Surgery.
Or surgery.
Exactly. I mean, it gets into some wild stuff.
What type O now?
Yeah.
It's, I mean, just stay with O negative and you'll be fine.
But the weird thing about it is once that person is, that soul is no longer there, it goes back to normal.
Wow. So if one has diabetes,
yes,
and it pops in,
yes, you have diabetes.
But then when they pop
or
out,
crippled, or blind, mm-hmm. or whatever,
or need glasses, or
yes,
what is that, Tara? The
oh, Tara,
yeah,
the United States of Tara,
yeah, the United States of Tara, yes.
Yeah.
That's very accurate, it seems, with that, with the glasses and...
Yes, it is.
When she became the man and...
Absolutely. I had one that he was, it was a man, and he had a baby, a fetus, very tiny baby, would take him over and he'd just crawl up and into a faucet and make baby sounds.
Wow.
It was weird. I mean, I've dealt with a lot of really weird stuff, but that one was...
Do you think that trauma opens up the possibility of those attachments?
Well, everyone pretty much has attachments anyway, but if you have a lot of trauma, you're hiding from life, and those attachments can easily and more readily take over your body fully. Because you want to back, you don't want to deal with life. You're letting them take over for you. And usually people that are highly mediumistic and have gone through trauma end up with multiple personalities.
I had a guy tell me one time that, and I'm asking if this is in any way correct, but he said that prior to coming back, that sometimes you agree to... come here and in an early stage just go through the trauma for another soul, and then the soul walks in at, you know, say age 3, 4, or 5 and lives the rest of the lifetime.
That's stupid. I'm sorry.
But he was saying that in relation to, you know, how some people don't have any memories of, you know, being a child or being a baby or, you know, any of that up until they're 3 or 4 or 5, and he said, well, sometimes there are walk-ins.
Yeah, I know,
agree to let
walk-in,
another soul take, you know, big trauma, and then...
I asked my guides about walk-ins, because that was a real big deal in the 80s, because
mm-hmm.
there was a book put out about, she was a walk-in, and, you know, how she took all of this for the other soul, and,
mm-hmm.
and did all... Look, let me put it to you really simply. You take your body to live this life, to learn your lessons so that you can evolve and grow. How can you evolve and grow if a walk-in comes
takes
in?
Takes your drama.
It takes your dramas.
Right.
Hello. That's entirely stupid.
Yeah.
No, I don't believe in walk-ins.
Okay. I'm not taking the crap for somebody else
one.
Either. I'm not doing it.
I mean,
never heard of that one.
I have a question about the guides again. You know, you mentioned that, let me see if I can phrase this. How do you know that you're dealing with your guide?
That's tough.
Okay.
That's a tough one. That really is a tough one.
If you get a new one especially, you're like, I don't know if I trust you.
Yeah, well, when I've always had my guides with me, okay, forever. But I had to go through a stage where I went through demonic training, how to deal with the demonic,
mm-hmm.
how to do exorcisms, how they work, how the laws work, all of that. It was like an 8-year process, okay?
Mm-hmm.
During that 8-year process, I had to learn the difference between my guides and the demonic.
Right.
That was a trip. So I'm trying to figure out how's the best way for me to be able to tell the difference between my guide. So we're talking in my head. And my voice talking in my head. And the demonic talking in my head.
Right.
In your voice.
Well, it wasn't.
Oh, really?
No. It wasn't. I thought it was my thoughts.
Ah, okay.
Thoughts don't have a voice.
No.
But they do. So, I said, this has got to be the only way. I would ask that my guides, and don't listen to me on this, I would ask that my guides speak to me in a foreign language that I have to have interpreted. And I would ask for an interpreter in the name of Jesus Christ. They started speaking in Latin.
Your guides did.
Yep.
But proper Latin.
You bet.
Yeah, not the bastardized.
So, I've got a lady that came to see me, friend. Her professor is Latin, teaches Latin. Got my interpreter. So they're giving me all this information in Latin. I'm writing it down as best I could in Latin, which I don't know how to do that very well. But he was able to interpret it. And he goes, this is absolutely wonderful. Where are you getting this stuff? Don't worry, I'm learning the language. I don't know. Don't talk to me about it. Well, I'm going along, and finally I start hearing Latin, and it's coming from my left side. The other one was coming like from my right side and over the top, and this one's coming to my left side. And so I'm writing it all down, and I give it to him for interpretation. He goes, what happened? I said, what do you mean what happened? He said, this is bastardized Latin. Really? What does that mean? Mm-hmm. So he explained to me it's, you know, bastardized Latin, satanic, in essence, can be interpreted that way. So I went, oh, cool, great, I got two Latins going on, and I really don't know the difference between bastardized and regular Latin, yay. My guide said, left side, right side. Mm-hmm. Left side, dark side, right side, light. Okay, then we're going to have to start speaking in English at this point, because I'm having a tough time with this professor, because he doesn't know where the crud I'm coming from, and I don't want him to know. Mm-hmm. So I say, okay, guides, I need you to give me a word that I have to look up in the dictionary that I don't know, that carries the essence of what you are trying to tell me. Okay. So I think the first word that I got was expurgate.
Spell.
And I went, huh?
I don't know.
And it was in a sentence. I looked it up in the dictionary, and I went, wow, that's a trip. And there was, and sojourn was one of them. And there was just these various words that I really didn't know. So I said, this works. Then I heard other information going from my left side. Left side, dark side, right side, guides. Mm-hmm. And I actually started hearing their voices. They weren't my thoughts, they were voices. And it was male voices. So I learned to tell the difference between them. I'll tell you what, this side, when the dark side speaks to you on this side, they speak like in third party terms. Look how fat you are. Look how everybody's looking at you. Nobody likes you. You're really stupid. Mm-hmm. Do you think like that? I don't think like that. Mm-hmm.
You don't think of yourself in third person.
That's right.
And that's a key.
That's a huge key.
And you can train yourself to tell which side it comes from.
You can, given time. Practice. Yes. It's practice. None of this comes overnight. This is, you got to work at this.
Oh, yeah.
You got to practice it. You practice it, you get it. Mm-hmm. Everybody kind of understand?
Mm-hmm. And then once you get it, you don't hear this much ever again.
No, you don't. And they told me, because these guys were driving me crazy, because you hear your right side, you hear your guides, you're going to hear the dark side. I mean, and you have all your life. Anyway, you just thought they were your thoughts. You didn't separate them out. And then you've got spirits that attach to you. And let me tell you, they can speak from any side, any way, shape, or form. So when they kind of, you know they're spirits. But they actually, by that point in time, you should be able to actually hear the tone of the voice, male, female, young, old. Guides don't come in with emotion except excitement. They do get excited, but that's the only emotion I've ever gotten with them. The dark side is mean.
Cruel.
And they'll fluff your ego.
Oh, yeah.
You got to watch that ego fluff.
Mm-hmm.
Guides don't fluff your ego.
They don't care about your ego.
You're not here about your ego.
Exactly.
You're here about learning, knowledge, growth. Not about how pretty you are, or how fat you are, or how you need to lose weight, or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. That's not what you're here for. You're here for knowledge. And they are here to give you knowledge. But you have to ask them for the knowledge.
And you got to ask the right question, nuanced perfectly, and
they get real picky. Exact.
Well, whatever you ask, the way you ask it is how you're going to receive the knowledge.
Words have power.
Well, if you ask a two-year-old question, you're going to get a two-year-old answer. It's just real simple. Your guides teach you at the level that you're capable of asking the question. And if you ask higher level questions, you'll get higher level answers. But don't go to them with a higher level question that you don't understand yourself.
Yeah, you have to understand what you're asking.
Yeah. And there's all these spiritual laws that you really have to learn. And it's kind of like one-on-one with your guides if you're smart. Because you're not going to get that information in these books. It's just not out there. Which is unfortunate. But I would imagine if it were in the book, it'd been twisted. Eventually it'd get twisted. Good questions. Had a good night here.
Let me double check the phone. Double check the phone.
Are we live?
We are.
Yes, we are.
Oh, I meant. No, I meant like you're. Are you?
Oh.
Like, you getting questions?
Yes.
No.
That's cool.
No, I don't get immediately. Sometimes I've gotten questions. Usually it's through email. I don't. My phone number is not public phone. So. Talk amongst yourself.
Oh. We're doing pretty good. Okay.
Yeah.
I was actually going to talk about. How to know if you have psychic gifts and various types of gifts.
Well, that's cool. I think that would be really cool.
Yeah. Well, I've had a lot of people, clients that when they call me for readings, they want to know, do I have any gifts? And some of them were highly gifted and didn't know it. I thought, my God, you people.
That's been a big question on the website too, hasn't it, Savannah? Hasn't there been?
What do you mean? Like getting emails
about people
and
asking how do they know if they have psychic abilities and this and that? I thought you got several of those questions before.
Yes.
But now there's a lot of people that unfortunately are schizophrenic, and they think that it's like mediumship. Hey, hey, come on in.
We have a mail outside.
I love strange birds.
It's got a minor key call.
Hey guys.
Okay. We're walking up the door and there's just been going.
Hey guys, we're on live.
Hello.
He disappeared. Okay, how do you know that you've actually been born with psychic abilities? Because I watched these, quote, psychics and mediums come on and say, well, I found out that I was a medium when I was age 12 because my grandmother, when she passed, came to me. Uh-uh. Doesn't work that way. Sorry. Psychic abilities come one of two ways. You're either born with them or you get a really bad hit to the head. or a near-death experience. That's the only way I know that it comes. Now, if you're born psychic, what does that mean? That means that you're born into sort of two realms, or two to three dimensions of awareness. As a child, 3-4 years old, I saw spirits, souls, humans, ghosts. They were as human as any of you. They didn't look any different than any of you. They were totally solid. And I did not have a clue that they were not in a physical living body, because they were very much in a body that looked very alive to me. Okay? And I saw numerous. It wasn't all the time, but it was a lot of the time. And if you're mediumistic, if you have true mediumistic gifts, you will see. It's not every day either. Don't misunderstand me. It's not something that happens every day. Although one of them did. But normally it's not like every day. And they come into your room and they want help. Or you kind of walk in on them. Or you go to a haunted house and there they are standing there and they say good afternoon, or whatever the case may be. It's kind of commonplace. So, psychic abilities are a little different. They are not the same as mediumistic abilities. Mediumship, because you're a medium, does not mean you have psychic abilities. Okay? You can be a medium and not a psychic. Or you can be both. But psychic abilities means that you are sensitive to frequencies, energy. You know things that are going to happen, have happened, might happen. You pick up on information, such as for me, if I go to a place where there's a lot of history that took place, I go back into that time where the history took place, and I actually observe what's happening in the past. I'm there. I have dreams that come true. They're not all the time. They're relatively rare. I found that psychics, as children, have a penchant for stones. They bring home stones. Stones talk to them, or rocks. They like to be called stones. A penchant for animals. I have a fondness for nature and animals. Feel very uncomfortable around crowds of people or a lot of people. Feel very uncomfortable in restaurants and sitting in the energies of other people that have sat in the same chair. Maybe very reactive. Have a lot of stomach trouble. Mainly because energies go in and out of the solar plexus, which is right where your stomach is. So it makes you sick to your stomach when you hit negative energy. And I'm telling you, it's really bad if you've got a negative relative and they come over frequently. Bad news.
Were they living in the house with you?
Oh, no. Terrible. Yeah. So a lot of psychic children have a lot of health problems early on because they are so susceptible to the energies around them. It's almost can be very harmful, actually. I was put in the hospital for having a nervous stomach. Mm-hmm. I have very negative relatives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they never could figure out what's wrong.
That's what it was. I had a nervous stomach. It was because you're with people with negative frequencies. And they actually make you sick to your stomach, nauseated. As you get older, unfortunately, it kind of worsens Now, when I say that, when you're in your teens, you are affected all the time. Early year, teens, coming into your 20s, it eases. The 20s ease. They get a little bit better. It's like they allow you to have fun in the world without having to go through too much of this. As you increase into your 30s and 40s, it increases. And the energy, feeling beat up by the energy, gets much, much worse. It's not fair. It's just not fair. I had read somewhere, which I was a lie, that your psychic abilities peak with your 60s and start going down from age 65. It's not true.
You're all 71.
Just not true. So I had hopes, but you know.
We still
no, need you
to
do that.
Well,
I don't like being beat up by the energy, though. I really don't like that.
Well, you and your carnelian didn't help?
It does help. If I didn't have the carnelian, I probably couldn't leave my house.
Couldn't be in the house either, maybe.
Well, couldn't be there either. They're right.
There isn't a way to develop filters.
Yeah. No. There is to some degree. To some degree, what my guides taught me was to use psychometry. Because now I was living in San Francisco, okay? And I'm like this wide open psychic. I mean, I go to a restaurant, I'm sitting there next to this guy. I turn around to him, I said, I know you lost your job, I know you're really unhappy, but in 1 week from now, this white-haired man's going to come up to you and give you the job of your dreams, and you're going to be okay. Then I turn around and start eating. Poor guy freaks. But I'm doing this everywhere because the energy in San Francisco was just booming with psychic energy, and it just roared me. So my guides taught me through the kindness of this little lady who walked into the washateria where I was at, who offered to read my palm, and she taught me how to do psychometry. And she taught me how to turn on the touch, to touch into the frequencies, like turning a radio on and tuning it to that particular station. And when I let go, to let go of that,
I'll leave it there.
Yeah, I'll leave it there. And I'm telling you, it was a good thing because when I started working murder cases, God. So I learned how to do that. I learned how to start shutting down. I couldn't do it 100%. I just couldn't. I just absolutely couldn't. And if somebody really needed help, I would hear them no matter what. It just didn't matter. So that was a safeguard for me. The psychometry was a safeguard. So filters, I guess that would be a filter of sorts. But the carnelian, now it doesn't actually stop the psychic. It stops the physical empathy and protects my energy from being beat to death. God bless carnelian.
I found a really cool website that had like bangles, like a solid piece of.
Really?
They're expensive, but they're real pretty. Okay. I'm thinking about getting one and a half.
How hard of a stone is carnelian, too? Is it? I mean, as far as having a bangle, I'd probably break it the first day.
See, I was thinking for like special occasions when like the beaded one, but then this
to
one.
To dress up a little bit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I ain't going without it.
Nope. I don't see why not. And they're pretty solid. I mean, I still have a carnelian ring that's just a solid piece of carnelian. It holds up really well.
Mm-hmm. You can give that right after.
So I don't see why not.
Yeah, that's a lot denser than hematite. Mm-hmm. I've had a hematite ring that gone. I've laughed at a joke and did that.
Oh, yeah. No, the carnelian also is pretty good. Red agate works as well as carnelian, though, I found out.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't know it. I went to a rock and mineral show, and I was talking to this guy, and he said, I think that's Rick Agate. I said, really? Well, my daughter's right.
God bless him.
And I said, is it the same as Cornelia? He said, pretty much. And it worked the same. Red Agate.
If you want red or carnelian rings, I found a place that has them for $6 each.
You can get them for $1.98 in Hot Springs.
Okay, I went to Hot Springs and they did not have
them. Yeah, that's right.
I went and they didn't have them.
Really?
I asked, do you have any carnelian rings? And the lady looked at me, she's like, what? And I was like, oh, you're not helping.
Which place?
Okay.
At Coleman?
Ross.
Did you go to Coleman's? Really?
The one by the ladies' review or the gentleman's review?
No.
It said Coleman's, there were stones.
No,
topless girls.
No. As you're driving into Hot Springs, there's a Coleman's.
On the right, isn't it?
No, it's on the left.
Yeah, it's on the left.
It's underneath, you have to go underneath the freeway.
And it's next to a topless review.
But it's moved in.
I don't care about topless. I got some.
Near the Arlington, if you go past the Arlington, there's a shop there on the right. That lady in there seems to know a lot about it.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I think she's got some.
Yeah, I was going to say that they have lots of really, really pretty stones in there.
Well, Cornelia, if you get the ring, you want to wear it on the left hand middle finger. That's where it does work. First time my guides told me about Cornelia was I was doing film in Japan, and I was working with a male psychic. There was two of us, we were picked as the top psychics in the U.S. Yay. Anyway, we flew out there. They told me to get Cornelian ring, and I wore it, and they told me where to wear it. And it turned out that he was a psychic vampire. I mean, knowingly, a really bad psychic vampire. And that's how he lived his energies and his gifts. And the only way he could use his gifts was by draining off other people.
Ooh.
And he got mad because he couldn't drain off me. And I said, well, I'll slap you with some divine energy if you want it.
Let me help you.
He didn't want it.
Surprise.
So that's how I learned about Cornelia. Up until then, I didn't have a clue. And they gave me three rings. They wanted me to get three rings. And it turned out I brought a medium with me. He went to her. I had her put on the ring, our interpreter, I had her put on the ring, and I wore the ring, and he just was livid at me.
I can't imagine
why. He could hardly do anything.
Wow.
But you found the treasure, didn't you?
I did. I found the location, yes, of the Shogun treasure, $2.5 billion worth.
Too bad you didn't get a finder's fee, huh?
Oh, God. Oh, God.
I don't think we'd be seeing much Carol Payne.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah,
nope.
Was it a contest to see who was more gifted to find this treasure?
It kind of was. What happened was I got a call from a friend of mine in New York. She was a psychic. And she said, I put your name in with a production company out of Tokyo. They are testing psychics. They want to choose the top male psychic and the top female psychic in the U.S. I said, okay. She said, they're going to be calling you. They're going to fly you to New York. Okay. So the next thing I know, I get a call, and they're flying me to New York City. And I go there. And there's this man there that he's already been chosen, and he's a really attractive man, nice man. I got an interesting vibe off of him. I wasn't sure quite what it was. He had a lot of charisma when he pointed it towards you. You felt the charisma. When he turned his head, it was gone. It was weird. So they tested both of us. They put us all through these tests that I had to go through to see if I was truly what I was supposed to be. Apparently I tested out. So they chose me to go to Japan to locate something. They wouldn't tell me what it was. And I said, my guides tell me that what this is a treasure, and it has blood curses on it. And they go, you really are psychic. Thank you. What is it? What is this? We can't tell you. Okay. So I had to go through all of this blindly, okay? Well, it turned out it was a Shogun treasure. They took me to a cemetery, and they said, find the person involved with the treasure. Okay. Sounds easy enough. So I'm walking through the cemetery, and I see this priest. And he's standing like this, index finger to thumb on either side. And he's got this orange robe on, and he's bald. And he goes to a grave. I went, okay, sounds good to me. So I walk up and I say, this is the grave of the man that's involved with the treasure. Well, it was. I cheated.
You got some assistance.
No one else saw him, though.
Some assistance,
did they?
No, he turned out to be Oshobo, who was the priest that actually was involved with the actual burying of
the
treasure itself.
Oh, wow.
But it turned out I had a past life there, and I had been his teacher. They got very involved. Very involved. So I went through, they took us to different places, and I would have to perform and pass the test. He would have to perform and pass the test.
Ish.
And they took us to a racetrack. There were 16 horses on the track. 16. They said, pick the first and the second winner. I went, okay, I want to see the horses. So I went and I looked at the horses. I said, that's your number one. That's your number two. Do the race. Number one comes through and number two comes through.
Can we take her to...
I know, I'm thinking.
Have you ever been through that ever?
No, it's only in Japan.
Oh, wow.
Well, flight leaves.
See, with a big enough... there was a big enough... jackpot.
Someone has an Asian.
They took us to a stream. They said, find gold in the stream. He had to find gold. I had to find gold. I see this waves of energy coming up. I said, the gold's here. We pan. There's gold. He didn't find gold. This was the kind of thing that they put us through during actually this whole thing.
They were filming it.
How long did it last?
The filming... 14 days.
Wow.
Every day.
That's grueling.
It was very grueling. It was tough, but it was fabulous. But it was tough. Because they'd say, climb the hill. Yeah, you got to climb the steps up this hill. I mean, some really hard stuff for me. Maybe not for somebody else, but for me. So it was a fascinating journey that I wouldn't trade for the entire world. I got it all on film, too. Got it on DVDs.
Ooh.
When was this?
1991, 1992, 1993.
Hmm.
I did three things.
25 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, I was young.
Sierra got married.
Sierra was evacuated.
But the DVDs are all in Japanese.
Carol, ask for a translator.
Translators.
I did, and I got a girl from UALR, and she didn't understand some of the dialects. They have different dialects.
Mm-hmm. Well, get a translator for that dialect.
Yeah, right, sure. Uh-huh. Go to Japan and do it.
Yeah.
You've done Stranger Things.
I have.
Yes, you have.
And did you say some of those places were guarded by spirits because of the collective belief system there?
Yes.
Became a real thing.
And Japan, I love Japan. I truly love Japan. I was so at home there, I cannot tell you. I felt so peaceful there. But the belief systems there, the nature spirits in Japan are godlike. They're real sweet here. We got little gnomes, little fairies, they're real sweet, you know, nice. Over there it's like, yes, what do you want? Yeah. I really don't want anything.
Say hi.
Hi.
Yeah, we were searching for the Shogun treasure in this particular area, which it really wasn't, but we had to go there anyway. And they said to go to the mountain and to ask the mountain if the treasure's there. I went, sure, not a problem. Okay, so I go up to the shrine at the mountain, and it's a shrine for the presence of the spirit of the mountain. Okay? Now, Shinto was the original belief system through Japan, and they worshipped nature. So nature held a very important, special place in Japan, and they considered themselves gods. And they still do, I might add. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I march up to this mountain, and this booming voice comes through, what do you want? I went, I don't know. I think I forgot. And it says, I am the guardian of the mountain. I said, I don't want anything that you have. I'm not here to take away anything. I have hidden treasures that I protect. I said, you can continue protecting them. I do not want them. I am looking for the Shogun treasure. And I bring no harm, and I mean no disrespect. You don't get uppity with these guys, okay? Mm-hmm. And so, he got nice then. He said, you have treated us with respect. We will give you the gift of gold.
Okay.
This was before I went into the stream mm-hmm, gold. Mm-hmm. You will know when there is gold. I said, thank you. Thank you. And then the day after, I was searching for the gold, and I saw the energy coming up from the stream. That was the energy of gold, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. So yeah, their belief systems infest and infect and can corrupt mm-hmm. or change nature. In Japan, I find it very interesting. All of Japan, even in the areas that they don't they don't do the landscaping or any of that, it's just natural. It looks landscaped. It's different there. Mm-hmm. Nothing really seems to be wild. Everything grows like it's supposed to, even in the woods.
Like it's tamed.
Yeah, like it's doing a service.
Mm-hmm.
Feng shui.
The big old
yeah. Exactly. On its own.
Yeah, all mm-hmm. on its own.
Mm-hmm.
It was really quite wild. So yes, places that have been regularly worshipped at the power places, mm-hmm. if you will,
mm-hmm.
It affects everything around it. Like Mayan,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
the Mayan cultures, it really, one thing I had to really learn was to be open-minded. Now I'm Christian, okay? But I had to step out of the box, and I had to embrace and respect other cultural belief systems. Didn't mean that I accepted them, but I had to respect them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were ancient, and that's how you had to work with them, if you wanted to work with them. And I did.
Mm-hmm.
So, these ancient places, they have amazing energies and powers, and we've been fortunate through our years that we've been able to travel to a vast majority of them and actually witness Yes. That's the answer to your question. Maybe more than what you asked.
Never too much. Never. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Are you ready for break?
What time is it?
10 minutes after 9.
Yeah, we're ready for break.
Break!
One girl now. You want to talk?
She's going to do you on you, guys.